Welcome to the Campus Chronicle. Today, we have a big podcast, lots of stuff, lots of questions, lots of would you rathers, big stuff. I'm Jake Tubbs, the host for today, and I'm here with Aaron and Molly.
Hello.
Hi.
All right, guys, should we just jump right into it?
You know, I think we should. And I just want to say right off the bat, you're worried about the intro, but that was solid. So I think we have a strong start to our podcast here today.
Let's do it. I'm glad.
I don't know which one should we start out with here.
All right. Well, first, before we get into some would you rathers, do you guys like would you rathers? I've never heard someone say I hate would you rathers, but like, are you guys against them?
I think it depends, you know.
What does it depend on?
So, like the ones we have in the chat, they're pretty fun, and they're, like, fun to think about. But, like, the ones that are, like, horrible, moral, like, you know, either you get a bad situation or a worse situation, it's like, I don't like those ones. They're no fun. I don't like the moral challenging that some of the bad ones pose. I like the fun ones that just make you think. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I think sometimes that those, like, when they're both bad, they make you think even more and like really kind of pull on like which values are more important to you and like make you think even harder. So then they can be even more interesting because like everyone knows they're both bad. So they make you pick like,
right.
Evil. Like it's sometimes even more funny because they're making you say you'd rather like marry Hitler than, you know, do something else, which like you would never do.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. Like, the whole, like, would you rather kill your mom or your dog? It's like, really? I mean, that's going to be something I have to think about now.
Right. Yeah. Maybe my brain just can't handle the idea of that.
Yeah, it just automatically puts my brain into a pretzel, so.
Right. And it's like, even if it's, like, a fake situation, afterwards I'm like, man, I kind of feel bad that I let my dog die instead of my mom. Like,
all right, should we dive right into these?
Oh, let's do it.
I think we should. Yeah.
All right. First one: would you rather lose something or break it?
I mean, like the feeling you get after you accidentally break something is like one of the worst feelings you could have. Like the feeling of like, oh no, I think I'd rather just lose it and just assume it's all right than break it and have that feeling, you know? What about you guys?
I would have to say I would rather break something, you know, as someone that loses a lot of things, I just feel like losing something, like it didn't even have a chance. Like if you like lose your phone, it's like, man, it didn't even have a chance to break itself, you know? Like it was just like, that was that. And you know, like when you break it too, like, oh, I can fix it. Like there's a chance that you can fix it. You can take it to the Apple store and they can fix it. Like when you lose something, it's gone forever. You know,
you want that sense of optimism.
Yeah, you want like a next step. Like when you lose something, like there's only one. Well, first you like have to retrace your steps and like do the walk of shame everywhere around town, asking people, "Did you see this?" And everybody's like, "No." And then, but if you break it, it's like, okay, this happens sometimes. It can be fixed. So yeah, I would rather break it.
Okay, yeah.
I'm on team Aaron with losing it. I kind of disagree with Jacob that like, I feel like it gives like the optimism of it, like of a second chance for this item. Like if I lose it, like it's making somebody else happy. It's like serving somebody else. Like they found that thing, they needed it, that's great, versus like, it's just broken, it's just done. You might not be able to replace it. Like, and you did it.
Right. You know, something I'll add for losing, though, is that I feel like in most situations, it's like, well, I got to buy a new whatever you lost or broke. But if you lost something, there's that small like thought in the back of your head that's like, yeah, but what if I find it again? So it's like, then I buy a new one and then waste my money, you know. But if you break it, it's like for sure done. Just buy a new one. Don't worry about it. But that's all I'll add for the losing something category.
I will say though, there's like a Mount Rushmore of like top feelings you can have in life, like definitely on the list is you thought you lost something and then it just appears in a couch cushion. You know, like,
yeah.
You realize like, oh my God, I've been looking for this for 2 weeks. Like there's honestly not too many better feelings.
Yeah. And the more time goes by, like the better the feeling is. Like if you've lost something for years and you find it, the feeling of finding that thing is just like unparalleled.
Yeah. It's probably like, I don't know, getting married, having a kid, finding something in between. that's
what it has to be. Yeah, exactly.
All right, so you guys are lose something. I would rather break it. Here's the thing. I've lost so many things, and I've realized that they've never showed up. I've just, once something's lost, I've given up in a matter of 3 seconds. So that's why I'm on team break it. All right, next question. This one's like, I think we're going to dive deep into this one. So would you guys rather have $100,000 on right away, wired to your account right now, or would you end the pandemic today?
You know, before we get into this one, we just need to say we're not bad people. You know, we're not going to be selfish. But I don't want to go first on this one. Someone else go first.
Yeah, I think this one is bad either way you go. Okay, so starting off, I would end COVID, but like, I don't know actually, because ending COVID just right now, cold turkey, like everyone is just fine. That is like pandemonium. Like all the conspiracy theorists will be like, we were right. All the scientists will just be like, what is happening? Thing, all of our research, like, what does this mean? Like, start from square one. Like people wouldn't be dying and like just being sick anymore, because even like having a cold just sucks, but like nobody wants to be sick, so
like, you don't want to throw the world into chaos is what you're saying.
Yes, I would want to end it to like end the sickness, but it would like cause, it would just like wreak havoc on everything else,
right?
All the systems that we have set up. So, but.
Yeah, it's a really tough
choice. Bill, yes, I don't know.
There's another variable. Let me throw this variable at you too. Are we going to have a snitch? Because if someone finds out I took $100,000 over ending the pandemic, I think the decision's easy. However, if this is an under the table, hey, here's the $100,000, no one will say anything, I think I might lean the other way. Because in the where we're at right now, the pandemic, it's ending hopefully by the end of this year, right? I think that's
right.
That's the hope, you know. But so like we're almost there, but if I take the $100,000 and then someone snitches on me,
I mean, in this case, I think it's just like a magic genie or something.
That made the world wait for the pandemic, have the pandemic for another 5 months. I'm not going to, $100,000.
Right.
Question specifically to be like that person is to end COVID right now for good, not just the pandemic.
Right.
Yeah. Does that change your answers at all? I mean, I still have college to pay for too, so I'm all in it with that. And like, my car is an 05. I could definitely use a new one, but
yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, like, if you'd asked me this question in like, I don't know, March or like even later, like July of last year, I would have definitely been like, oh yeah, end it right now, no questions asked. But like now that we're into it for like a year, and like you were saying, it might be over by like the end of this year, it's a little more like, I don't know. like, I'd rather just take $100,000 and just wait it out, you know? I mean, we're reaching the end anyways, as far as we can tell. So, I mean,
yeah,
that makes me sound like a bad person, but still.
That's my answer. As long as no one snitches on me and set, and like, I don't see my face on the front page of like the New York Times saying like man takes 100 grand over ending pandemic. Like as long as it's a silent process, I'm taking the $100,000, you know, be a good kickstart for life. And,
right.
We're almost there. Like, come on people. We got what? This thing, hopefully we see the light at the end of the tunnel by end of the, this year, come on, we got what, 10 months? We can do it. We've already done a year. Let's just do another 10.
I'm gonna add a follow-up to both of you though. How would you, because it's like anonymous, you're $100,000, how would you say you got it? Because people would know you got $100,000, just not
the- say you won the lottery. Just be like, oh yeah, I bought a scratch-off ticket and won the lottery.
I did GameStop in AMC.
There you go, yeah.
I invested $10 in GameStop and I got 10 $100,000.
Yeah. Or to say like you called a radio show and oh yeah, I won a contest, no big deal. Yeah. And no one asked any questions.
Honestly, there was one on there's another, I think this would be another good would you rather, which I think is pretty easy to say, but like would you rather win $100,000 or earn $100,000? Because first, let me ask you, would you rather win $1 million or earn $1 million?
Depends on how I earn it. Because, I mean, if I, you know, let's say commit a crime, that's technically earning it. I did the work to get the money, but it's in a bad way, you know? You know what I mean? Or do you mean just like straight up you worked for it and then like you earned it over a span of however many years?
You put in the hours, did the time, and you earned it the right legal way.
I don't know. I mean, I'll
throw it at you. It could take you like 10 years to earn it, or you could just win it, get the check tomorrow.
So here's the thing. Okay, going to your 10-year like time span, like 10 years actually isn't very a long time. Also, if I did it once by earning it, I can do it again. If I win it by chance, that's just chance. So I think I'd rather work and be able to like continue to potentially make even a portion of that again than like half that than just maybe by chance. But that's me being very optimistic about my abilities.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Like either option is fine, but if you want to get more money like in the long run, the earning is probably the better choice. Like either way, you're getting $1 million.
I think another thing too is like when people ask you like how'd you make $1 million, like I want people like to respect me and be like, I did the work, I worked hard, I did all this stuff, instead of being like people, I just don't want people thinking I'm lucky, like, oh, you won it. That's
right.
Who cares? That could have been anybody, you know?
True. Yeah, you want the status.
Yeah, like earning is the safer option, and I just think there's more benefits of earning $1 million than winning it.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
All right, third would you rather, or fourth, whatever. Would you rather know every time someone talks good about you or bad about you?
Yeah, so I was thinking a lot about this one while we were going through everything. Like, I feel like either way, you're either going to be, like, deeply depressed and broken down by hearing the bad stuff, or you're going to have a huge ego by hearing the good stuff. So really, I think it's a lose-lose situation. And I'm going to go with the talking good, because I'd rather have a big ego than be destroyed by everyone's like mean comments, you know?
This one was tough for me because I think people, for the most part, like when someone's talking to you or about you, like, they're talking good for the most part. Like, when people are talking bad about you, it's not to your face. It's usually behind your back. So, man.
I think it all kind of depends on your personality, too.
Yeah. I don't know. What do you think, Molly?
I would go with when everyone talks bad, because I still know that, like, I have, like, a core group of people that do talk positive about me. And, like, honestly, they do talk bad about me, too. Not, like, the backstabby kind of stuff, but, like, they have, like, constructive criticism to, like, my actions. And if I do something stupid, they're going to be like, that was stupid of you. Or, like, I don't think you should have done, like, I don't agree with the choice you just made kind of thing. And I do the same for my friends. But I think, like, if you have that, like, it balances out the good. And then the people that you don't really care about anyways that are talking bad about you, I typically kind of use that as motivation. So it would just kind of, like, push me to do better. And or, like, I just kind of let it roll off my back when they talk bad about me anyways. So I either use it as motivation or I'm just like, okay, well then F off.
Right.
Yeah. Give me the bad. That's what I say. Give me the bad. Let me know when you're talking bad about me, because if, like, a lot of people are talking about me, then I'll be like, okay, this means I have to change, you know, like, holy crap. Like, half the people I talk to think I'm a jerk, and that's not good. So it'll help me not be a jerk. But also, when someone does talk about me, I'll just, like, I'll use it as, like, fuel and, like, motivation. I'll be like, oh, you think I'm bad at math? Well, let me show you. I don't know. Do something like that. So give me the bad.
Yeah, I was just saying, the bad could also just kind of make you more self-aware to, like, own up to it. Like, I genuinely am bad at math. So if someone's like, oh, you're bad at math, I'll just be like, yeah, I am.
Yeah, you're right. Good observation, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you guys raised good points. I mean, I'm kind of torn now between either of them. But, I mean, for the bad side, though, I'm thinking, like, this is something you're going to deal with until you die, like, for the rest of your life. And I feel like after years or, like, decades of constantly hearing the bad things people say about you, I feel like even if you use it to change yourself for the better, I feel like that's the kind of thing that, like, wears you down, you know? I mean, obviously hearing good all the time isn't the best either. It's not going to be great for your mind. But I'd rather hear that for, like, decades on end than hear, like, the bad stuff, you know? Does that make sense?
Yeah, this question is basically, like, which kind of toxic person do you want to become? Like, do you want to become an egomaniac, or do you want to become, like, the depressed person that thinks they're nothing?
So, yeah, exactly.
Kind of a lose-lose here.
Yeah. I'm still torn, though. I mean, there's pros and cons to each side.
All right. I guess we could do a couple more would you rathers. This one is more like which makes your skin crawl. This question kind of has that's the context. Would you rather replace every mosquito with a spider or every spider with a mosquito?
I mean, I guess to start off, are you guys afraid of spiders or even just bugs in general?
No, and I actually think this is, like, the toughest would you rather we've had.
Yeah, I mean, God, this is really tough. I mean, I'd rather have a spider just because, like, they're creepy, but mosquitoes are so annoying, especially when there's a lot of them. So I'd almost rather just have a lot of spiders just minding their own business than, like, a bunch of mosquitoes trying to get after my blood, you know?
So I looked up how many spiders there are in the world. Now, there are a lot of spiders in the world. According to Quora, which I mean, we all know that's a
credible, oh, yeah, very reputable,
credible
yeah.
site. This guy, we'll call him, I don't want to, you know, expose him. So we'll call him Bob. All right. He's in the medical field, but not the medical field that has anything to do with spiders or bugs at all. So he just really likes spiders and bugs.
He's not a bug doctor.
Here's what he says. All right. It is estimated that the world has 25 million tons of spiders. 25 million tons. So those numbers would make a minimum of 57 sextillion spiders.
Oh, okay. That doesn't help.
Now, I'm just saying, if we go to how many mosquitoes there are in the world, I'm sure there's a lot more.
Yeah, I feel like there'd have to be. Because I'm pretty sure mosquitoes are in, like, basically every part of the world except, like, you know, the cold places.
Because there's a lot more. Okay, let's go back to our handy-dandy Quora, okay? Oh, my God. So there are, I don't even know how to say this number.
Oh, no. That's a bad sign.
Okay, here we are. So this number is actually a lot less, which doesn't make sense. Again, this is coming from Quora, so these numbers could be several billion off the mark, let's just say. So according to Quora, there's 1,782,000,000 mosquitoes.
Wow. Okay. That's a lot of mosquitoes.
Ah, man. I hate spiders, so get rid of all the spiders. But spiders do, like, they do provide, like, they eat prey and, like, they do control some of, like, the ecosystem. Like, mosquitoes, they just, I don't know what they do.
That's where I'm at, too, with the whole that spiders actually, like, have more of a purpose than mosquitoes.
But, like, yeah. I'm also to the point where, like, do I really want to see a black widow on my ceiling at night? I don't think so. I would rather.
But I feel like if we had, you know, way more mosquitoes too, the chances of getting like yellow fever or whatever would probably skyrocket. Like they spread diseases like crazy, you know.
Is yellow fever's like still a thing? I thought that was like something.
Not in the U.S., but like my like point still stands.
Yellow fever was like COVID in like 1780, I think.
Yeah.
I think we got in the handle.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think, don't they have, like fumigation that they can spread over, like, a wide area if there's, like, too many of an insect? I think that might be a thing. Like, I feel like if there are too many mosquitoes, we could control it in some way, at least to a certain extent. Like, just fumigate an entire town just to get rid of some of them, you know? I don't know.
Or we could just eliminate them altogether and replace them with spiders.
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, would it be like, oh God.
I think I would get rid of the mosquitoes because like, it's not to say that like, yeah, a good percentage would probably be like the poisonous spiders, but a good percentage would also probably be like just little house spiders.
Right.
But like,
I've never seen a black widow in Iowa. So I mean, the chances of it showing up even when there's more spiders, I feel like is not very high.
Still, you're adding a billion spiders. Like, you're adding 2 billion spiders to this whole mess.
Australia, yeah. New Zealand would, like, be the ones that are, like, in real danger here. And, like,
right.
The Middle East with, like, their camel spiders and stuff. I'm sorry, but
oh, God.
A million more.
Yeah. All right, I've came to the answer. Give me the spiders in here. Let me tell you why, okay? Mosquitoes, they survive off anything. They survive off humans. They survive off trash. like, if we add 2 billion more spiders, there's not going to be enough food for 2 billion spiders, I don't think. At least, like, if you took them to, like, just dumped a million spiders in Des Moines, like, they're going to
die out.
There's only, like, concrete in Des Moines. A spider can't live on cement. It's ridiculous.
Right.
So I just think put the spiders, we'll have a decade of just pure spider COVID mayhem, but the spiders will die off eventually. So we'll be
right. I wonder if there's like
mosquitoes too.
Since I wonder if there's actual like bad environmental effects to getting rid of either mosquitoes or spiders. Like if it actually happened, I wonder if it would mess up the ecosystem at all, you know?
Okay, don't like totally quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure that a lot of like there's a decent amount of scientists who have actually studied the like eradication of mosquitoes, and they're like, it would be okay. Like if we got
seriously,
like it wouldn't like super impact anything because they're not anyone's major food source. They spread disease. Like they are not at like the top of a food chain where they get rid of a bunch of other things. Like they're just kind of still here. They're like, it would, you know,
it'd be fine.
Nothing like catastrophic.
I think that makes my mind. Then I'm going to go with the mosquito. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a pretty good place to end the would you rathers. I think we could probably do this for like 4 days straight, but I think now that we've tackled the spider mosquito dilemma, it's a great place to end the would you rather debate. I've jumped to a different Reddit page, you know, not where would you rather kill your mom or your dad is the question, but now it is more based on college. So here's a nice softball question. Let's start off with a nice softball. This one's titled "No Motivation for College," and I don't know, are we allowed to say people's usernames on here? I don't know. I feel like
I mean, as long as it's not like straight up their social security number, I think it's fine.
This guy goes by Hot Juicy Waffles. So
I'm gonna
say that he's pretty anonymous or she's pretty anonymous. Okay, so here's the question, guys. We're here to help. I'm a freshman in college, and it's hard to really get myself motivated to do any work outside of my classes. In high school, I never cared about school, but always maintained average grades. But now it's college. Now we're talking. Average isn't what I should be striving for, and not caring is also something I shouldn't be doing. Yet, I also don't really find it in me to have motivation to do anything by myself. I don't want to talk to any of my high school friends anymore. I have no one to discuss what I learn with. What is really the whole point of this? Any tips on changing my lifestyle to a healthy one? Any tips, guys?
Well, you know, finding motivation is a lot easier said than done. So this is kind of a tough one. I think what I would do if I was in this situation is I would like, it's going to sound kind of like cheesy, but like look within myself and like figure out why I'm going to college and like what my goals are and like where this would take me. And then like from there, kind of figure out, find my reason to work hard and to get good grades. But if you don't have like that end goal or that reason for being there, then drop out. I mean, if you don't want to be there, you don't have any motivation, it's not going to take you anywhere. It's just a waste of your time and money. That's kind of where I stand.
What about you, Molly?
I don't know. This is a really tough one for me because I'm under the, like, she didn't really explain like the situation that she's in, whether she's going to classes or like they're all online or like what that situation is. So that's a little more difficult to give advice to, but it kind of sounds like, yeah, she needs to like somehow meet people and that, well, it seems like she's a social person. and that will kind of help her with her motivation, because she mentioned that he or she, I don't know, that they don't have anything to anyone to discuss what they've learned with, and that the fact that they found that useful to mention, like, speaks volumes to me in that they need to express those things and have that social time, or right, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. And that would help with then their motivation if they're like an extrovert and need that. So I think it's probably like more the circumstances of the pandemic than college itself. And because I think everybody, well, majority of people that I know kind of breezed through high school as well. Like, it is a different stepping stone from high school to college, but like, you can procrastinate and get away with a lot more in high school than you can in college. So that's just a learning curve for her. She said she's a freshman, but I think it's that social that she needs to kind of focus on and reach out to her old high school friends or something.
Right. Yeah. I think that's a good point. They do seem like they're a social person, but obviously with the pandemic, it's kind of hard to do something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree. I think, you know, if you really want to stay in college, I think if you want a healthy lifestyle, like for me, it's always been like creating a schedule and, you know, sticking to that schedule. And it doesn't have to be like, oh my God, I scheduled 8 hours of homework today. Like, no, but like for me, it's like, okay, like I'll schedule out my day, but I also schedule like, oh, this is a time for me to like watch 2 episodes of my favorite TV show. Like, that'll be a part of my schedule. And I think that really helps people with time management. So I would definitely suggest that. However, I also think if that doesn't work, I also think there's no shame in, you know, taking a break from college and, you know, mm-hmm, trying something new, because like they said, you know, how high school and college is really different. Another difference is you're paying for college. You're paying thousands of dollars for this education. And it's not just something where you can just, you're, you know, it's included in taxpayer dollars. You're now paying out of pocket or taking out loans in other cases too. So I think if you're not, you know, I agree, college is a different animal. And if you're not ready to take on that task, I think there's no shame in, you know, taking a break and also right, really looking to see if is college really for me. You know, I don't think there's any shame, mm-hmm, in trying something outside of college.
Yeah. I mean, like, we live in a culture now that really emphasizes going to college. Like, it pushes pretty much every student to do that, when in reality, college is not for everyone. You know, it's perfectly fine to either go to the workforce or the military, whatever you want to do. So I think, like you said, yeah, taking a break and figuring out what exactly you want to do, and if that involves college, definitely is the right step to take.
Yep. Let's do one more, I say. And this one, it's one I'm very opinionated about, even more opinionated than usual. So this one is called Breakout Rooms with Zoom. So this one is a hot topic these days. So it says, hey guys, this is from Hats668. So he says, hey guys, or she says, hey guys, I was wondering if you had any general advice or tips for breakout rooms in Zoom. Long story short, I kind of hate them. Well, I feel you, Hats668. Sometimes I feel like they're going okay, and I like the people I'm interacting with. However, most of the time they're awkward, people don't say very much, and they're just an unpleasant sort. Let me also add this too. Everybody's mic is broken in Zoom breakout rooms. Everybody's yep, broken mic. No offense mm-hmm, to people that have actually had broken mics, but
it's like, yeah, it's the number one excuse.
These computer companies have to do better with their broken mics. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
She or she goes on to say, I find that I don't feel great about myself afterwards. What do you guys think? How do you manage breakout rooms? What do you do afterwards if you don't feel great? So breakout rooms, any general takes on them?
I'm going to start by saying that I agree with her that, like, why is everybody in your breakout room always the most awkward, unsocial person you've ever encountered in your whole life?
Yeah, literally.
I don't know.
Yeah. Like, it's almost like when you're in person, like, on campus, it's less awkward when you're talking with people. It's really weird. Like, you'd think it would be less awkward over Zoom, but somehow it's more awkward.
Yeah, because I've had, like, at classroom discussions, too, where they, like, kind of group you into people, and, like, they're like, okay, discuss this, and then tell us together. And it's always been fine, and, like, everyone's kind of involved. Maybe, like, one or two people that are, like, reserved and in the back, whatever, mm-hmm. but it's everybody in a breakout room.
Yeah.
I also have to say, it's so bad when a teacher shows up into your breakout room and it's like, hey guys, how's everything going? And then everybody pretends, oh, we've discussed all this. It's like the one person that's willing to talk is like, yeah, we've discussed this, this, and this. And
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. My advice to that is just, again, it's pretty cliche advice, but like, be the person that starts the conversation. I think a lot of people are always mm-hmm. afraid of like, all right, I don't really want to say anything. I don't want to be like that guy, but you should be that guy. Like, be the person that tries to break the ice, because like, in the end, for one, nobody, like, if you break the ice, nobody's like, oh wow, this tryhard's trying to talk. Like, people are looking for yeah, to start exactly. a conversation. And even if they are, most of the time you're looking at a black screen with nobody showing their face and everybody yeah. did. So even if they do judge you, they know your name. And
exactly.
they're never
and what you sound like these
people in your life, most likely. So yeah. I wouldn't stress about them.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I was going to say. It's just, what works for me is just being the person, like you said, who just starts the conversation, just powers through. Like, no one wants to talk first. So if you just be that person who just jumps in and starts first, you're gonna be the hero of the group pretty much, because no one's going to want to start that conversation. Yeah. But it's also important to like keep that up throughout the entire like thing too. Like, if you are doing multiple discussion questions, it's best to be like, okay, on to question two. You know what I mean? Like, you have to kind of keep it going, keep people, you know, interested in what's going on, just to make the situation a little less awkward.
Yeah, and I think you've got to treat it like a texting conversation too. Like, when someone texts me and you just start the conversation with "Hey," like, I'm already not interested. I'm already bored. But if you mm-hmm. like, if you go straight into like, all right, let's get down to business, and you start off with like a proposition where people, you know, actually it's like an open-ended question or something like that, I think that'll help the room. Just, I guess, you know, yeah. to kind of wrap it all up, like, be the guy that starts the conversation and don't start the conversation with "Hey." Because
yeah, exactly.
Nobody will respond.
mm-hmm. Yeah. Something I'm kind of curious about, though, is I wonder if teachers are aware of how awkward it is, you know? Because obviously they're not really in the breakout rooms. They just create them and, like, wait for the students to be done. So I wonder if they just have no clue what's going on or if they're actually aware of it.
Yeah, they have to be aware of it, because it's impossible for every group to be like discussing really thoroughly the topic. Like, everyone's yeah. probably heard like, oh, we had a great conversation. And, like, there are great conversations, but more times than not, it's just silence.
Exactly. Yeah. yeah.
Yeah. Anything to add, Molly? I know Aaron and I took up that.
You guys, yeah, no, you nailed everything. I agree with all the advice you give. I can't really think of anything really more to add. Maybe that, like, after you initiate the conversation, because I don't know, a lot of times you'll have to go back into the group class and kind of tell everyone what you said, you know, for your group, maybe like assign that to somebody else. So you're not always doing all of the work, but mm-hmm. that just kind of make sure everything's like delegated and put names to responsibilities and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's why it's really nice when you have like yourself and one other person or two other people who are like taking charge. It's the best feeling when you're not like the only one who's trying to participate.
Yeah. And I also wouldn't feel bad too if like you are in one of those breakout rooms where it's just, there's no spark whatsoever. Like, don't feel bad. Everybody is really struggling and online.
Yeah, it's no one's fault.
So it's like, just kind of look out for yourself at that point. Don't worry about if your group is being quiet.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. Are there any other college topics you guys want to discuss? I'm trying to think. Reddit's about, they're about.
No, I think that's a good place to wrap it up, I think.
I think so too. Yeah. So good Friday podcast. We'll be back next week with another Friday podcast. Hopefully one of our partners is also coming back. I'm Jake Tubbs. I'm with Aaron and Molly, and we'll see you next week.